Let's go ahead and turn to 1 Peter 5, starting with verse 8. Should be on the screen also. Just going to read a short text today. It says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour him, or to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen." Upon that, all the kids get to go to junior church. There are a few that want to go to junior church. Anybody? Preschool to first grade. Kathy's right there. She's going to go. It'll be a good time. And now we're going to pray. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the reminder from Peter to stand firm in our faith, to be sober-minded, to be thoughtful, to be discerning, because the devil does roam around looking for those that are weak to devour. He's like a snake. He's like a lion. Father, help us just to realize that there is a spiritual battle going on. And those of us that are saved, we need to stand even more firm upon the rock that is your Son, so that others may see us standing and come to know you more. Father, be with me and my words today. I just thank you for this epistle from 1 Peter. You're an amazing God. In your name I pray. Amen. So the big question is, do you believe in Jesus? You awake? Let's ask one more time. Make sure you're with me. Do you believe in Jesus? Okay. I know we're in a little Baptist there. That's all right. They love Jesus too. You love Jesus? Do you believe in heaven? Do you believe in the devil? Do you believe in hell? Do you ever picture the devil in red pajamas with a tail, a pitchfork, and horns? Do you know that's not really the devil? Okay. Many people believe the devil's not real. Many people believe that hell is not a real place. You hear things like, how could a loving God send anybody to eternal torment? Well, let me tell you something. If you get nothing else today, even if it makes you mad, hear me say that hell is a real place. And if you are not in a relationship with Jesus, you might see hell. Now, I'm not going to go all fire, brimstone, sulfur, rain down from heaven, old school, Jimmy Swaggart. I need a little napkin. Probably still need one of those. But I'm just going to be real with you. The devil and hell are real places, and people will go there. How do I know that? The Bible tells us that. And the Bible is the truth of God. It is the Word of God. And if the devil wasn't real, why would Peter tell us to stand firm? Because the devil, our adversary, roams around looking for those to devour. You know, some people don't believe he's real. Some people say he's just the symbol of evil. So you get the pitchfork, you get the stuff, they just get all into it. But the Greek word for the devil means adversary. Simply, so when you translate that into English, you give him the noun, and then you give him, he's the adversary. That's where that all comes from. Tradition says that Satan was an angel of God, but through his own pride, he became corrupt. And there was a war in heaven, and he was cast out. Some traditions, which this is not true what I'm about to say, says that Jesus and Satan were brothers. That is not true. That is not true. Satan was a created being. He was someone that God created. Through his pride, he became corrupt, and him and his if you will, minions were kicked out of heaven after a war in heaven. Satan then deceived man, brought sin, entered the world, and God made a promise. Knowing that all this was going to happen, God made a promise and said, I'm going to send somebody that's going to crush him. Upon the cross, Satan was defeated. Satan is a defeated being. He is waiting for eternal punishment. I always look at him like he is trying to bring as many people down with him as possible. Okay. But don't give the devil too much power. He cannot be everywhere at once. He is not omniscient. He is not omnipresent. He is not like God. Okay? And it says in Revelation that he is bound by the preaching of the gospel. So if you preach to yourself daily the gospel, you have nothing to worry about. Are you with me? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because I've seen some stuff. And it's pretty scary. He is God's enemy. And he constantly tries to hinder his work. But he is limited to God's sovereignty. He is limited to God's rule, God's reign, to God's power. You see that in the book of Jonah. Not Jonah. The book of Job. Where God, or Satan goes into the court of God, if you will. You can picture that. And ask permission to test Job. He was an all-powerful being. Why would he have to ask God's permission? Okay? There are two extremes when viewing the devil. The first extreme is seeing Satan's presence in every struggle of life, like flat tires, long red lights, bad prices at the grocery store, and other things like that. That is one extreme. The devil causes all this stuff to me. Okay, you know where I stand on that. Then you have the other side, thinking that he has no effect on our life. I want to say the truth is somewhere in the middle. There's a battle going on. The Bible describes Satan, and he says he's like two animals. First, he's like a snake. This emphasizes his craftiness. He wants to deceive us. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Revelation 12:9. The great dragon was hurled down, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. He is like a snake. He will trick you if you do not know what's going on. How do I know this? Well, we can look at history. How many false religions are there? And let me tell you, Satan's good at stuff. He takes one verse and he turns it just a little bit where it sounds like it's still the truth, but it is so far away from truth that it's scary. And it leads people astray. I will be dogmatic enough to say that there are a lot of religions. And I don't believe necessarily that the people that have visions, like Joseph Smith had a vision, I believe he really saw something. But where that came from, it wasn't God. You know, there probably is a demon somewhere named Moroni. Never met him. Don't want to meet him. Don't care to. But I believe that Joseph Smith saw something and he created something false. Same with Allah. I believe Allah is probably a demon somewhere. Muhammad saw that. Life was changed a little bit. False doctrine happens. He is like a snake. Have you ever been called a snake before? I just want to say, he will deceive you. He will lie to your face. He He is real. The other animal that he's described of is, he is like a lion. Wasn't that a song? Doesn't that song describe God? Remember, Satan's a very good deceiver. He's like a lion. This description emphasizes the power of Satan. He wants to destroy us. He wants to eat us. He wants to rip us apart. He wants us to die like he is dying. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like what? A roaring lion. So what's the big idea this morning? It's simple. Satan wants to destroy your faith through suffering. This is like the exclamation point on the book of 1 Peter. Stand firm in your faith because God is more powerful than Satan. That's the big idea. Satan's trying to deceive you, trying to trick you, want you in hell, want you to die eternally. But stand firm in your faith. You can know that you have salvation. You can know that you are saved. Let me tell you something about me. I don't like going to conferences or taking kids to conferences that constantly, every year, it's the same thing about salvation. It's important to preach the gospel and offer salvation, but not the same way every year. And this was taught to me by two young ladies. We got back from our third year of CIY, and these girls go, "We don't want to go anymore." I go, "You not have a good time?" "We had a great time. But we're saved." We need to start putting our faith into action. We don't need to keep drinking from the bowl of milk. There's a lot of wisdom in that. Because a lot of you guys have worked with kids. Every year they go to camp, and what do? They make a decision. And next year it's the same decision. And the next year it's the same decision. And that's why I cut my hair off, because it hurts pulling it out. You know, because it's the same decision. Shouldn't those decisions change? Make a decision for Christ. You battle this sin. You battle this sin. You battle this sin. Now you start to work on your spiritual gifts, and you keep drawing closer to who God is and the will that he has on your life. I kind of talked a little bit about this a few weeks ago. I actually said that we're going to talk about who causes suffering. Is it Satan? Is it God? Got real quiet, didn't it? All of a sudden, everybody went, yes, it's both. But for two totally different reasons. Satan's purpose for suffering or making us suffer is destruction. It's pain. It's for us to be lost for eternity. God's purpose for allowing suffering is in purification. Peter just spent some time talking about this. We're going to go through the fire. We're going to be tested. All those impurities are going to burn away, and we're going to come through more pure, stronger on the other side. There's a reason for it. In every situation we're in, God deserves the glory. And there's a way that we can see him in every situation. 1 Peter 4, 16 through 17. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is a time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? We hold the name of Jesus. That is our identity. The righteousness of God. And if people cause us to suffer, persecute us, push us around for our faith, we need to praise God for it. Why? Because we're going to become stronger in our purity, in our faith, in our devotion for God. But if you're not standing strong, if you're not in the Word, you're going to face persecution, and you know what you're going to do? You're going to give in because you don't want to deal with it. You're going to say, enough with this junk. I'll find something else to do on Sundays. That's why Peter tells us to stand firm. What does it mean to be devoured? You know, it always talks about those verses of God holding us in His hands, that He'll never let us go, that His love endures forever. Well, Peter is telling us that Satan is hoping that believers will be terrified in their hardships and in their persecutions, and that they will be deceived and they will fall into sin, thus devouring us. We need to remember the promise of God when we are suffering. What are those promises? That His love does endure forever. That He will bless us. That He is coming back to take us to our real home that is with Him. We need to look at those cloud of witnesses that came before us, that stood their ground. It always didn't end well for them. Some were murdered by crucifixion, like Jesus. Some were boiled in oil, like John. Some were exiled on an island, like John. Some were beaten, like John. Some were crucified upside down, like Peter. Stoned, like Stephen. Beheaded, fed to lions. Shipwrecked. I mean, there was suffering happening. Kind of makes us laugh a little bit when someone teases us for our faith. But let me tell you, that doesn't mean that we cower back. Because Peter uses the word alert. The Greek word alert is a military term. And it's in the context, refers to a soldier that is on watch, looking for the enemy. Church, we're called to watch for the enemy and not be deceived when he comes because we're two steps ahead. And you know how we're two steps ahead? One, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and two, by the Word of God describing what's going to happen. Earlier in chapter 5, Peter describes a Christian as a flock of sheep, and pastors and elders as shepherds, and Christ being the chief shepherd. Let me tell you something. When a lion is on the prowl, neither the sheep nor the shepherd sleep. Both are alert and watchful because their life depends on it. I was talking to a pastor this week, and he was talking about some struggles he was having with some of the staff. Was obviously in a bigger church, and he was just saying to me that some of these younger pastors don't have enough urgency in their message. They're just going through making things happen, but there's no urgency with the gospel. Don't you think that a shepherd and his sheep watching for a lion, don't you think there ought to be some urgency in that? Oh, when I get up from my nap, I'll see. You know, I'll count the sheep, see if they're all here. If one gets away, at least it wasn't me, right? We don't talk like that. Well, maybe we do talk like that. The Bible doesn't read like that. So today I have three conclusions for you to remember about just the idea of standing firm, being alert. First thing is, we are kept safe by God's power through faith. 1 Peter 1:5, who through faith are shielded, protected, guarded, kept safe by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. We are kept safe by God's power. He tells us in His promises that we are guarded, we are protected, like a shepherd. Do you believe that this morning? Because the longer you walk the correct path, the more junk you're going to see and the more people that you're going to see fall away. I've seen the people fall away. I've seen students that I've had that have grown up, one that I was really close to, that I know she knows the truth of the gospel because I told her. I was the one that baptized her. She's getting married later this year to her girlfriend. It makes things real. Two girls that live down the street from me, twins, came to my youth group. Once again, I know they knew the gospel. I told it to them. Ended up taking their clothes off for money nightly. If you're not firm in your faith, the devil will come in and he will pull you away. If you forget the promises of God, your faith is going to lack. If you're not into your scripture, and if you're not reading, if you're not studying, where does your faith come from? You just come up with enough goodness in yourself to go, hey, I believe. I'm safe. I'll show up to church a few times. I'll do a few activities at church. Woo! Devil's not going to get me. Let me tell you something. He's already got you. Why? Let me tell you, when the fire is turned up, you're going to jump out of the pot. The power for salvation is found within here. If you're not reading this, studying it, asking questions, somebody actually asked me a couple weeks ago, why do we do sermon notes? Why do you even put that in there? Why do you have questions based on what we're talking about? So we can all study together, so we can all walk together, so we can all be unified through the Spirit of God's Word, so we can remember stuff. I remember a lady one time, I spoke through the book of Revelation, and she kept all those notes, and they went to a Bible study, and it was on Revelation. She pulled out all of those notes. Like it was her personal commentary. And I was like, what did I say in that? To make sure I was right. But be a good student of the Word so you can understand the power of God, so you can understand the promise of eternal security with Him. That's a word we don't hear very often. We start to run away saying that's false doctrine. But you know what? Who can separate us from the love of God? Neither angels nor demons, you name it, nothing can separate us from the love of God. But you have to know the love of God. You have to understand the love of God. Philippians 1:6, be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. The day you go down into the waters of baptism and you come back up, you start your walk of sanctification. What is that? You becoming more righteous. You becoming more like Jesus. You studying and moving forward. Why? Because Jesus promises us at the glorification, upon His return, when His church, His kingdom is lifted up, you will be complete. There will be an end to sickness. There will be an end to disease. You will be made complete. 1 Corinthians 1:8. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will keep you strong. He tells us to do what? Stand firm. Then what does He do? He makes us strong so we can stand firm. Now that's my God. That's my God. Gives us the problem, shows us the problem, take care of the problem for us. That's our God. How about 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24? May God Himself be the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. Make your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it! Exclamation point. Those are the promises of God. He will hold you. He will strengthen you. He will bring you through until the end. Do you know him? The worst thing that Satan can do is take our lives. He cannot take our souls. I'm going to say that one more time. The worst thing that Satan can do is take our lives. He cannot take our souls. A lot of truth in that. Number two, intense suffering reveals whether or not real faith is present in your life. Do you have real faith? When you come face to face with the roaring lion of suffering, will you stand firm or will you run away? When you're pressed, what will you do? Will you make a stand? Will you pick up your cross? Will you join the death march? That's what Christ asks us to do. Number three, if faith is missing in our lives, God's power will also be absent. If faith is missing in our lives, what do you mean, Kelly? I believe. Do you believe enough like that widow that gave her last piece of wealth, probably her grocery money or whatever, because she knew that God is faithful, and God will provide for all of her needs. If faith is missing in our lives, God's power will also be absent. Here's just some final thoughts, maybe some final thoughts on encouragement to stand firm in the faith. The suffering of this life is temporary, while the glory of the Lord is eternal. God is stronger than Satan, and he will keep your soul safe. God is stronger than Satan, and he will keep your soul safe. Resistance to the devil's attack will be successful. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James 4:7. While it is wrong to ignore the devil's existence, it is also wrong to cower before him in fear. The Creator of the universe has our back. The one who, in fact, created Satan. He has control over his creation. So many times we give the devil, I don't know, we give him more value than he really has. We say that he rules over hell. You know what? When you're chained up, suffering for eternity, you're not ruling anything. Jesus is the Lord of heaven, he's the Lord of earth, and he is the Lord over. Our God is in control. Our God is faithful, even when we're not. And the truth is that Satan doesn't want us to believe that. Why? Because he wants to destroy our souls. Today is the last day of our 1 Peter series on doing life. And the last thing that I can leave you with, you're going to do life well, you have to be alert for what's going on. Now, let me tell you something about that. You're going to look around our world and you're going to be sad. Blessed are those who mourn. You're going to suffer. You're going to be persecuted. Blessed are those who are persecuted. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. But your attitude and your life must be focused on Jesus. must be focused on the cross of Christ. I could stand up here all day long and tell you that. I can't make it real in your life. And today, my prayer for you is that you want to do life well as a Christian. You want to seek the welfare of those around us. You know, this whole idea for this sermon series came out of love God, love others, and serve the city. If you're going to do life well, you have to do those three things. You have to. Church, if we want to survive, we have to do life well. We have to be alert. Today, if you want to make a decision for Jesus, you want to share some testimony, I invite you to come forward. But right now, we're going to pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for the words of Peter that he wrote down in this letter and given to us. Father, that we can stand strong, that we can understand that there's a spiritual battle going around, and that Satan is like a snake, and he wants to deceive us, and he's like a lion, and he's powerful. He's a powerful deceiver. He wants us to believe false things about you, and Father, you have written things down. And we've seen through history that God, that your adversary, the devil, has come in and tried to misconstrue the scriptures. Father, they have stood the test of time. And they are just as true today and relevant today for us as they were when they were first written. Father, allow them to strengthen us and allow us to have eyes that are just alert for what's going on, Father, in this world that's trying to drag us down. Father, allow us to pick up our cross. Allow us to join your Son, Father, in your will. Today, Father, we pray everything in your Son's name, Jesus.